our firm foundations. But looking at this, preparing for the elections. Yes, I can just hear everybody thinking, here we go, political preach. What do they say? Don't talk about money, sex, or politics in the local church. Well, the Bible's got a lot to say about all of these, and including politics. You know, Jesus got tested the most when they kind of came at him and they thought, now we're going to trip him up. So let's look at that scripture, which is in Matthew 22. It says in verse 15, then the Pharisees went and plotted. So this was a plan, how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion. There we go. There's the summary of Jesus. From their perspective, a religious perspective, you care about nobody's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And then he said to them, therefore, render or give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and, comma, to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. You see, we need to understand that the kingdom of God, as Jesus came and proclaimed it, is triumphant over everything, and the wisdom of this kingdom is enduring. In other words, if we were to understand this gospel of the kingdom and to live it out, we are going to see incredible things take place. But thank God for the perspective, because it helps us understand how these two things work. We're in a country that has had a past that we're ashamed of. It wasn't a God thing, where state and religion were mixed. Actually, go through history, you can go and see the worst times in the world is where Christianity is owned by the state. The downfall of Christianity, as we went through the beginnings, right back, with the Caesars. Eventually, you get a Caesar who has an epiphany, but he realizes that if you adopt Christianity, then you're going to get more votes. And so he popularized it and adopted it as the state religion. And Christianity was plunged into the dark ages. And even in Jesus' time, to be Jewish, the nationality of being a Jew meant you were a Jewish Christian, a Jewish person. And so there's been this mix all along. But as Jesus came, he kind of established something firmly that the two are separate. And so here's the news. You have a civic responsibility, everybody sitting here. When you leave now, if there's a stop street, you've got to stop. That's not a hint. You know, like if you feel like it. And where there's a traffic light, you stop. And so on. And when you get that little tax form thing, you pay it. And so on. And so Jesus was saying, yes, you've got to submit to those authorities. You've got to pay your taxes, you've got to do all of this, but there is something that's above that called kingdom, and it doesn't mean now that you don't obey. So in a civic sense, we have a responsibility to vote. And I'm not going to tell you what to vote. That is something that you've got to take up with the Father and go and trust Him. The second part of what I want to talk on is not just the civic responsibility that we have, but also this thing of how are we going to pray? We're coming up to a time of prayer and fasting. What are we praying for? Are we trusting God for no potholes? Who wants to spend 2 days praying for no potholes? Yeah, it shows our expectation. I always say, I've often hear this in a testimony. God says to me, you know, and kind of left my house, I was in my car, I was in a rush, and I got to Eastgate, and I prayed, Lord, give me a parking lot, a parking space. And guess what? There was a parking space. How many times have I tried that? Never a parking space. I don't have a parking space anointing. Let's just get over it. But to justify this and to help us all, let me explain it. I don't think faith is meant for parking spaces. I think faith is meant for the gospel to go out in power. That's your thing about parking spaces and trusting God for that. No ways. Kingdom says, we want to see revival in this land. I don't want potholes to be filled. I want revival. And that's what we're going to pray for. And then, Lord, if you've got some spare power, would you fill the potholes? I've tried praying over potholes. They don't fill on their own. They seem to need a whole system to fill them. So give to Caesar what's due to Caesar. Give to God what is due to God. And obey the government. But where they go contrary to the gospel, then we stand against that. When they say you're not allowed to meet, we will not bow to that. At the time when the disciples were persecuted and they were beaten and told, you will not preach in that name again, they went and prayed and fasted. God shook that place, and guess what? They went and preached the gospel with more boldness. In other words, there's only one who we bow our knee to, and there's only one who we serve as King and Savior, and that is the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And at the mention of his name, at the mention of his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You see, so we live in the kind of the mix of both of these, but let's not confuse it. You can go through the many scriptures about, Peter says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Wow. That was radical. Because the Jews generally were looking for a revolution against that. But Jesus tried to put it in its place. We are not of this world. Isn't that awesome? Keep reminding yourself. It's not about potholes and lights on and water. We are not of this world. We belong to him, and we're on mission in this world. And so what are the differences between church and state? There's a different membership. You see, before, if you were a, and this is where people died for this. If you were part of England, you had to be Catholic. And there were wars to separate that. And the same in Spain. If you were evangelical, at one stage, they killed you for the sake of that. And all the torture, horror stories come from those times. No, you need to make a decision to serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are not a Christian because you're a South African. And you're not a Christian because your parents are a Christian. You're a Christian because you decide and you make the decision. And so membership as part of this country, if you're born here or you kind of get naturalized, you get an ID number, etc., and now you're part of this. You've got to keep those two things separate. There's a difference in officials and authority, local church, elders, deacons, and there's an authority that we all carry. In the state, there are just so many positions and hierarchies, and your head gets dizzy just trying to think of it all, but they are different. I can't go there and tell the government what to do as an elder. Well, I'm an elder in the church, although I've found a new use for the word elder or pastor. Or Maruti, when you get stopped by the cops. I know this is evil, but most dudes are God-fearing. All I want to do by saying that is start the conversation off on the right footing. There's going to be no bribe here. You know what I mean? I'm a believer. Oh, really? What's your job? I'm a pastor. Ah, you must please pray for me, pastor. I said, yeah, I will pray for you. Bye-bye. Gone. Oh, Lord, forgive me. There's a difference in weapons, right? Our weapons, we are poised again at a major crossroads like we were with the introduction of a democratic South Africa. And that big challenge, there could have been civil war all over, and the war talk during this political campaigning is the same. Guess how we handle this? As those in the kingdom, pray. That's it. We love, we pray, and we have faith. They have other weapons in the government. They're called tax and other things like that. There is a difference in aims and goals, and there's a difference in beginnings. You're a member of the state the moment you're born into the state. You're a member of the church when you're born again. We understand it? And so, yet, in this, we discharge our civic responsibility, register, and go and vote. It is important. And then our spiritual responsibility or kingdom responsibility is we need to pray. We need to pray. 1 Timothy 2 says, "For first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." There's our bottom line. We are praying for whatever's going to be best for the gospel in this country, that people may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me just clear something here now. This is a very subtle thing that has crept into the church, especially in South Africa, as the church prays. We cannot repent on behalf of our country. We can't. I can only repent on my behalf. I have to take responsibility for my heart before God. But we can't say today we are going to repent on behalf of South Africa. We can't. There's no such thing. There was a time in Israel's history when that was a method. Church and state were combined, and that was a way in which they were led. But it doesn't apply today. But I can pray that our country gets onto their knees and starts to repent as an individual, and that our government repents, and that everybody comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because ultimately that's why I'm here. And if that's no longer, then send me home, Lord Jesus. Right? And so our fasting time, it's important to understand that fasting is about prayer. Fasting is about longing for our Lord Jesus Christ. There was that very clear time when he was challenged again by the Pharisees or John's disciples. How come the Pharisees fast, John's disciples fast, but your disciples don't? Who remembers what Jesus said? While the bridegroom is with them, they're not fasting. But there'll be a time when I go, and then they will fast. Why? Because we're longing for Jesus Christ. We don't fast to manipulate God's hand. Lord, we're fasting. You can see I'm suffering. I haven't looked at my phone screen for 5 minutes today. I've sacrificed big time for you. Would you please fill our potholes? That is pathetic. We fast because we long for Jesus. When we come in together on Friday corporately at 7 p.m., we're fasting and we're praying and we're worshiping because we long for our Savior. We long for Him. You know why? It's only Him who's going to make a difference in the situations we find ourselves in. And then when we understand Isaiah 58, we fast because we're concerned for those who are less privileged than we are. So therefore, whatever money you would save from the food you haven't eaten, let's give it to the poor. That's as simple as the Bible says things are. And then it says when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, when you fast, please don't stand there looking as miserable as anything. What's the matter with you? I'm fasting. Oh, why? No, I haven't had coffee for 2 days. Don't speak to me. Yes, I shouldn't know it. Okay, we're all going to know it because we're doing it together. But, you know, often I'll kind of come across a guy who's doing a 14-day fast or a 40-day fast. Yes, that's like superhero stuff. And you can see it on his face. It's like the whole world is on his shoulders. Actually, the Bible says when Jesus preached that sermon, do it in secret, that your Father may reward you. So there is a reward for fasting. There's a reward, more of Him, freedom. And, you know, in that time, you know, your kind of focus becomes so renewed and clear on Him that the things of this world grow strangely dim. Those appetites for other things die. That's important. And so I want to encourage us to take this time of fasting serious and to look for other times when you can do it as God leads you. Who finds fasting easy? Yes, I tell you, nobody's hands up. Man, if I feel like God urging me to fast, that's like I go into a cold sweat. You know, I really do. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. You know, but I'm not made for fasting. I don't know. You can see it, obviously. But, you know, some other dudes, you know, I see them and they're always fasting. And I think, yeah, you know, like you definitely are the superhero when it comes to that. But we do this as unto the Lord. And as we do it corporately, the times are going to come up. We'll put the slide up for this site. All the sites are prayer and fasting. Friday is when we get together, all together, except for the West. It's like an hour for them to drive here. And at that time of the day, it's almost impossible for them to make it. So they're going to do their corporate meeting there. And then all other nine sites, this place is open at 7 o'clock. So we come in together to worship and to rejoice and to bring this thing of cry, barren woman. Father, would you bring revival to South Africa? And in it, Lord, keep your hand on this election. Keep people safe. We pray against manipulation and control. And we pray for our government to become those who are God-fearing, Lord. And to hear some statements made only recently by a political leader that says, we are Jesus. That's what they said. And we don't need Jesus. And I'm thinking, yesterday. You know, anybody, my warning to them is move as far away from that as possible because lightning's on its way. Man, do not take on God. And so there's a lot for us to be praying for. And so when you fast, we fast in secret. So this is the thing. How you're going to do it is important. We're not going to say all of us are going to fast everything, no food. We're just going to do water for. And at 7 o'clock on Monday until we break bread on Sunday together. So on Sunday, we're going to break bread together, and that's where we'll break the fast. There's all the meetings. You can see what they are. They will also be online, so you can kind of dial in and see what's going on if you can't make it to the venue. But kind of take this before God and ask him how you should do it. The Daniel fast is no fancy food. Fast food, and you're just going to drink liquids, like fillet liquidized and the right spices. So I know people who've done that. Eventually, one church was saying, okay, we're just going to do soup. But they were measuring the size of the chunks that would still make it soup. You know, no, we're not going there. Let's just release ourselves from all the kind of, for me, the rules and regulations. For instance, do the Daniel fast or cut coffee out. But here's the big thing. Whatever you do, it should enable you to have more time to spend with the Lord, because that's what it is. So perhaps it's supper on Friday so that you can spend time with him as a couple, as a family, as an individual, and then come to the meeting. Then you might say, okay, on Saturday I'm going to skip lunch, that I'll spend time with God during that time. Okay? Or if God leads you to do that and not have any food whatsoever because you want to bring that desire under control, that's good. It's an appetite. It fights against God at times. So let's bring it under control. Man shall not live by TV, bread, coffee, iPad, iPhone, all of those. You can put all of them in there. All those appetites. So let God lead you. Maybe for those who kind of in a place where you can't fast for some medical reason or whatever, then maybe you do switch off the TV for that 48 hours. Or maybe you don't look at your phone every 2 minutes. You know, so work it out that way. The warning is, we are not instructing you to do something that is taking place of God speaking to you, showing you the Word of God so that you can make your decision. But let's fast together. And please don't compare. Okay, so what are you fasting? You should see what I'm fasting. Just lost your reward, bro. You know what I mean? God rewards us. You're not a superhero because I tried one fast that we did at Cornerstone. I wasn't even going to drink. I got to about 14 hours and I thought I was delirious. I was going to die because I was trying to be a superhero. It doesn't happen often. No, it does actually. It's amazing. But let's do this as unto the Lord. If you're pregnant, we're not telling you to fast. Okay? If you need food to take your meds, please eat. We don't want you off your meds. You have to have that conviction with the Father. And so many as well, if you work in the catering industry and you're cooking food and tasting it all day, don't act like a hypocrite. Sorry, guys, I'm fasting. Can't even touch or look at food, you know. Hip, hip, hooray, you've lost your reward. No, let's be normal and ordinary, and let's do this for the sake of spending time with the King. Is that cool? If you've got any uncertainty about this, Greg and Nicole would love to answer any questions about this. But remember, it's as unto the Lord. And during that time, mark your offering that you want to give for the money you would have spent on food. Mark it. Money, food, offering, fast offering or whatever. But just let us know so that we can take that and give it towards those that need it. There are many people that we do help in that way. Happy with that? You got the times, you know exactly what is going on. Then that's it. Let's trust God together. On Sunday we're going to break bread to break our fast. And the way we're going to do it, we've done it in the past, bring a light snack with you so that we can break bread together, little picnic style all over the place, bring enough to help somebody else. We will also have the table with the normal stuff on it. But the idea as a family is we're going to have a light meal together and we're going to provide the stuff for that and break bread in that kind of context. Is that cool? Again, if you have questions, please speak to... Yep. Wednesday, no prayer. Friday, no youth. We're all joining in together. So what we want as a church to make this an absolute priority.